So today, as I start my message for today, is really a day of new beginnings. Yesterday, as I've mentioned earlier, we had the wedding of Nelson and Paige, and we sent them on their way into married life, and this morning they woke up, wherever they are, to the beginning of the rest of their life together. A day of new beginnings for Nelson and Paige. Today is also the first Sunday in February. It's when the year really begins, I guess. Sadly, holidays are a bit of a distant memory now. The school year has started. We're back at work, and the new year is well and truly underway. It's a year at this time of year when we think about what new beginnings there might be for the year ahead. But there's another reason why today is a day of new beginnings, because today we are into a new series. We're into a new series. We're going to work from today for the next little while through Mark's gospel. Now, in 9.5 years that I've been a minister at this church, together we've worked through a number of books of the Bible. When I first came, we did a series on Galatians. Does anyone remember that series on Galatians? I didn't think so. It's probably a good thing that there's no recorded messages, at least that I'm aware of, and certainly not on our website, of that series on Galatians, because I was pretty scratchy when I first started. We then moved into a series on the book of Acts, and then we moved to Micah, and then we spent some time in Genesis chapter 1 and 2 looking at the creation stories. We then worked into Judges, and then we started a series on the Gospel of John. Does anyone remember the Gospel of John? Does anyone remember how long it took us to get through the Gospel of John? We were there for 5 years, yeah? It was great, wasn't it? As we delved deeply into God's Word. And then a few years ago, we finished up the Gospel of John and we had a look at Exodus and Numbers, particularly the events around the life of Moses. And then last year, we were in Ephesians. And just towards the end of last year and finishing last week, we had a series on Habakkuk. Now, it's quite the body of work, really, isn't it? We've made some progress in the last 9.5 years as we've delved deeply into God's Word together. Now, Mark's gospel, that's the shortest of all the gospels, so I don't think it's going to take quite the 5 years that it took us to get through John, but I suspect it's going to be about 3 years that we're going to be in Mark's gospel. But today, as we open up this series, our focus is going to be on just the very first verse of Mark. Mark chapter 1, verse 1, and it says this: "The beginning of the good news about Jesus the Messiah, the Son of God." Now, it's really common when you're reading through a non-fiction book that you would get to the start of the book and there would be something like, there'd be some acknowledgements, there'd be a preface, perhaps a table of contents and an introduction. And, you know, it might go for 20 or 30 pages, that whole length of the book. And that is just normal for any non-fiction book we read today. Well, when Mark was writing his gospel, there was no such luxury of 20 or 30 pages for those introductory remarks. And so effectively, what we have here in verse 1 is a preface, is an introduction, is a table of contents, is everything that Mark is saying to introduce his gospel. This is what the book is all about. And so from this one verse today, there are three aspects that I want to highlight, three different elements that, as we do explore them, I think will help us to unpack exactly what it is that Mark's gospel is all about and what he might have to say that is particularly relevant to us in our world today. So the first thing I want to highlight, first thing I want to focus on is this word beginning. Beginning. Right at the start, Mark uses this quite strange turn of phrase, really, when he says the beginning of the good news, the beginning of the good news. But what he's doing is he's making a very important statement that the good news does not end with the work of Jesus when he roamed this earth. In fact, it's only the beginning of the story. What Mark is saying is that God's involvement in human history through Jesus continues after he ascended into heaven, right through to the present day. God is still active. God is still at work. God is still drawing people to him. He's still creating opportunity for all of us to have new beginnings. Now, it's widely thought, though we can't be 100% sure, but widely thought that the author of Mark's gospel is John Mark, who we can read about elsewhere in the Bible. Now, early church tradition regarded John Mark as a close friend of Peter. And in fact, in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 13, Peter supports this view when he refers to John Mark as like a son to him. The early church regarded this gospel, well, Mark's gospel, was actually Mark recording all that Peter had taught Mark about Jesus, about his good news. John Mark, if you understand your Bible stories and if you've read the book of Acts, you'll know that he was a young man who also went on that very first missionary journey with Paul and Barnabas. But when they got to Pamphylia, it got too tough for John Mark and he deserted Paul. Somehow being a Christian and witnessing to Jesus just got too much and he couldn't do it anymore. But then sometime later we find that he had reconciled with Paul, but not only that, but Paul commends him in 1 Timothy and Colossians. Paul talks of John Mark about being really useful to him and being a great servant of Jesus. So there was some reconciliation and restoration that occurred after John Mark had deserted Paul and Barnabas. If John Mark was the author of Mark's gospel, and we suspect that he was, he would have well understood how there is always opportunities for new beginnings in following Jesus. That our God is in fact a God of the second chance, that he makes it possible for us to start over again. He's the God of new beginnings. The second area that I want to highlight from this passage is when Mark talks about the good news about Jesus. The good news about Jesus. In many other interpretations, the word for good news is interpreted or translated as the gospel. And when we talk about the gospel, many of us will think about one of the four books. We think, what is the gospel? It's one of the four books that starts the New Testament. But clearly this is not what Mark is saying or what he's talking about here. In fact, it is widely considered that Mark was the first one to write down the stories and the events of Jesus' life. Matthew and Luke actually both borrow very heavily from Mark and quote in large sections Mark's writings in their gospel. Mark would have had no knowledge when he was writing these words of what was to come. He wouldn't have been aware that there were three more gospels to be written. When he's talking about the gospel, or when he's talking about the good news, he's not talking about a book, he's talking about a message. A message that for Mark holds great transformative power. The Greek word that Mark uses here for good news is the very same word that was used in Roman days to announce any of the significant events that occurred around the emperor. So whether it be the birth of an heir to the emperor's throne, or whether it be that an emperor had ascended to the throne, or whether it be his birthday, or some other similarly important announcement, the very word that would be used to describe an announcement around the emperor's life was the same word that Mark uses here. And when he uses that word, he's being deliberately provocative to his audience. He's jolting them. He's actually shocking them that you would use that same word to say the good news here. The good news of Jesus that Mark is about to proclaim in his gospel for him has the highest of status. It has the greatest level of importance than can be possibly imagined in the Roman mind. It's thought that Mark wrote his gospel somewhere around AD 60, approximately 30 years after Jesus had ascended to heaven. It's most likely that Mark never met Jesus while he roamed the Judean countryside. In fact, at the time of writing, Mark is located some 3,000 kilometers away in Rome. He's involved in a Christian community of believers there in Rome. And so the original recipients of Mark's Gospels were miles away geographically, miles culturally from the Palestinian Jews who first heard the teachings of Jesus. And yet this good news of Jesus, This gospel is one that transcends culture. It transcends geographical distance. It transcends religious background. It even transcends time. But for Mark, this good news not only transcends, it transforms. It's a good news that brings change. It's a good news that brings redemption, that brings forgiveness, that brings freedom, that brings renewal, that brings life. This good news that Mark proclaims is all about Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God. And it brings us to this last aspect that we want to highlight today. Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God. So the beginning of this good news, it's all about Jesus, and right off the bat, Mark names him for what he had come to do, to be the Messiah, to be the anointed one who came to save. And Mark also describes who Jesus actually was, the Son of God, part of the Trinity, in communion with the Father and the Holy Spirit. What's really fascinating, I think, about what's occurring here when Mark was writing these words is that in Rome, Jesus was hardly a known quantity. He actually wasn't even that much of a known quantity in Judea, in Jerusalem, 30 years after he'd ascended to heaven. Christianity was considered just a very small sect of Judaism that had also happened to attract some non-Jewish followers. The first century historian Josephus actually wrote far more extensively about John the Baptist than what he did Jesus. So in the Roman Empire, Jesus is just a minor figure, not considered someone of particular importance. But from this relatively minor group of Christians, a growth would occur. A growth that would end up transforming the whole of the Roman Empire. But at the time, this was impossible to tell. You could not see this by looking at this group. Because even at that time, Jerusalem, the place where this belief, this new way of following had originally come from, Jerusalem at the time was in ruins. In AD 66, around the time that Mark was writing his gospel, there was a Jewish revolt against the Roman Empire. And it occurred because of the hope, false hope as it turned out, that the Messiah would come. The Jews thought that the Messiah was going to come and overthrow the Roman Empire and be raised up as a new king. Now, initially, this revolt in Jerusalem was successful, but the Emperor Nero soon sent the might of his army into Jerusalem, and they left the city in ruins. The temple that had been restored by the Babylonian exiles some 500 years ago, the temple that had been refurbished into a magnificent building by Herod just before Jesus came along, that was destroyed. It was rubble, it was dust, all that was left. And so for the Jews and for other Gentile God-fearers, this long-awaited hope that the Messiah might come began to fade into the dust and the rubble of the destroyed city and temple. But what Mark is doing here is he's putting this misguided loss of hope to bed. For the Messiah did not come to lead a violent revolt. He did not come to become an earthly king as we might imagine. No, this kingdom that the Messiah would establish was an entirely different kingdom. It's one that is initially unseen but by a few, but one that is astonishingly powerful. And throughout Mark's gospel, we can see this theme of kingdom developing. In Mark chapter 1, verse 15, Jesus says, "The kingdom of God is at hand right now, so we need to repent and believe." In Mark 1, 13 and 14, Jesus says, "His kingdom has authority over evil." In Mark chapter 5, he says, "His kingdom has authority over sickness and death." In Mark chapter 4, we see his kingdom being proclaimed in the telling of the parables. In Mark chapter 10, Jesus says, "His kingdom is embodied and modeled through his sacrifice, through his suffering, through his servanthood." The kingdom of God was not an earthly kingdom, but a spiritual one. One that makes claims upon the hearts and the souls of men and women wherever they hear it proclaimed, wherever they see it at work. Now, another really historical event, a significant historical event that's worth us exploring and noting today as we open up Mark's gospel, was what occurred around the events of the Great Fire of Rome in 1864. It was a fire that caused great devastation to the city of Rome. 3 of Rome's 14 districts were completely destroyed. 7 more were severely damaged. There are only 4 districts of Rome that were left unscathed at the time. Thousands perished in this fire, and the devastation in Rome was immense. And in the aftermath, the Roman population, they started to point the blame towards Nero, because they understood that Nero had desires to rebuild much of the city of Rome, including a new palace as a monument to himself. And so Nero had his men set fire to Rome on a hot, windy night. And it was widely reported that while Rome burned, Nero celebrated. Historically, he actually sang, but mythologically, we think he played his fiddle. But most likely he sang. And the populace of Rome, they started to rise up. They started to critique Nero. They started to say, what's going on here? This is our emperor. He's meant to be looking after us. And look what he's done. And so to divert the blame, Nero started to look for a scapegoat. And this small, relatively unknown group of Christians, well, they were an easy target. And so Nero spread rumor upon rumor about Christianity, including that it was them who actually started this fire, false rumors, to try and validate the supposed crimes that he was accusing of them. He unleashed a horrible persecution against the Christians. It was a murderous rampage that was at least comparable to that which we see in some of the modern terrorist barbarians of our day. And it's into this context of desperate, sad, and even hopeless times where there's suffering and persecution all around the Roman church that Mark comes and says, I've got some good news. I've got good news of the Messiah, the anointed one who saves. The Son of God who's come near, who dwells amongst, who draws near. And no matter how hard the trial, what Mark is saying, no matter how hard the trial, no matter what the challenge is coming at you, the difficulties, doesn't matter, the gospel of Jesus, it's always good news. It's good news to the broken. It's good news to the hurting. It's good news to those who mourn, those who are lost. And when we come to that place of truly acknowledging this good news in our heart, what we discover is that there is no circumstance beyond God's reach. There is no situation that is bereft of hope. There is no experience beyond the redemptive work of Jesus. That's the good news. And so what we have here in the Roman church, the church who Mark first wrote these words towards, this relatively unknown little group in AD 64 suffering this murderous persecution at the hands of an emperor who was all-powerful, one that was designed to wipe them out completely. What we have here, though, is a stunning and astonishing story of growth. For over the next 250 years, this small Roman church would grow. By 310 AD, it was thought that may well have been over 20 million followers of Jesus in the Roman Empire. In 250 years, they went from 0.01% or less than the Roman population to now making up more than 10% of the entire Roman population. And at the center of the incredible growth was this little church here that Mark's writing to, the Roman church. The very church that Nero thought he could wipe out and destroy. Proclaiming. He's come sharing the good news. The coming of the kingdom of Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God. And we can take great hope today. Because whatever challenge we might be facing, whatever difficulty is coming our way, if we look at this story, if we look at Mark, if we understand the context, then just as it was all those years ago for the Church of Rome, so may it also be for us today, that the good news is still good news regardless of what we're facing.